A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The angel brought me, Ezekiel, back to the entrance of the temple of the Lord, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate, and round to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the right side. Then, when he had walked off to the east with a measuring cord in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and had me wade through the water, which was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 and once more had me wade through the water, which was now knee deep. Again he measured off 1,000 and had me wade. The water was up to my waist. Once more he measured off 1,000, but there was now a river through which I could not wade, for the water had risen so high it had become a river that could not be crossed except by swimming. He asked me, "Have you seen this, son of man?" Then he brought me to the bank of the river, where he had me sit. Along the bank of the river, I saw very many trees on both sides. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district, down upon the Arabah, and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live. And there shall be abundant fish. For wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." Verbum Domini. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. Therefore we fear not, though the earth be shaken, and mountains plunge into the depths of the sea. There is a stream whose runlets gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in its midst, and shall not be disturbed. God will help it at the break of dawn. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. Come, behold the deeds of the Lord, the astounding things he has wrought on earth.
Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately, the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is a Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on a Sabbath. Verbum Domini. I especially today wanted to greet our viewers from India and those of Indian descent who live in the United States or other countries, because I wanted to begin by talking about one of your own from the southern state of Kerala, who has inspired myself and so many, a place now at her tomb where there is a great devotion. Her name is Ajina George. And she has been called the Carlo Acutis of India. You may know Blessed Carlo Acutis was beatified. He died in 2006 of blood cancer. And he spread as much as he could with his computer genius that he had devotion to the Holy Eucharist. And she's also been called, Ajina George, has been called the Nightingale of the Eucharist, or the Apostle of the Eucharist. She died just 2 years ago, on January 21st, 2022. And a priest who knew her for 17 years, was her spiritual director for many of those years, gave a reflection about her life. So here's her picture, Ajina George. And this priest's name is Father Kattasari. So he was her pastor for the last couple of years of her life, but he knew her since the age of 10. She died at the age of 27. And he tells a story about her life that even from a young age after her first communion, she always wanted to go to daily Mass. And even when she was diagnosed with cancer, they had done emergency surgery, it was in her jaw. For a short time, she was okay, but then it came back with a vengeance, if you will. Her face became disfigured, and she lost the sight in her eye, and her the hearing in her ear. She could, as the cancer progressed, she could hardly speak. But even then, she insisted on walking, even with great pain, to wherever she could attend Mass, wherever she could receive Holy Communion. And even during the lockdown of COVID, she would go until she could be able to receive the Holy Eucharist. In fact, Father Katiseri said that there were times when he was bringing Holy Communion to her home that he was stopped by the police and he was asked what he was doing. But it was something that she just insisted on that she couldn't really live without. And he said, I personally knew her for 17 years, and I can testify her life resembled that of a saint. And the diocese is actually informally, because you have to wait 5-year waiting period, but informally gathering documentation about her. He said, as she grew older, her love for Jesus grew. She became part of this youth movement called Jesus Youth, and she was a coordinator, in fact. She loved to sing. Again, she was called the Nightingale of the Eucharist. 2.5 years before her death, I was appointed the vicar of her parish. Those days gave me an insight into her deep devotion for the Holy Eucharist. It often seemed to me that she was striving to love Jesus even more than Jesus loved her. She never stopped attending daily Mass, something she had been accustomed to since childhood, even on days when she was in great pain. He said then, the last week of her stay in the hospital at the height of her illness will forever be the most memorable days of my pastoral life. Days when her hospital room was converted into a chapel of Eucharistic adoration. Only after offering an hour of silent worship and adoration of the blessed host that I had brought would she receive Jesus. And after having received the Eucharistic Lord, she went to her eternal rest. And he concluded, that holy death will never fade from my mind. Having received the anointing of the sick and the Holy Eucharist, she held my hand and recited the prayer, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, for almost half an hour, her voice slowly fading till finally her life breath, her offering to God ceased. It was Friday at exactly 3:00 in the afternoon. Her sole desire was to share Jesus and the Eucharist with everyone she met. Her very death became a proclamation of the Holy Eucharist. And he concluded asking for her prayers. Agena, help us to grow in devotion to Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. Agena, do remember us when you are in paradise. So a remarkable story in our own contemporary times of someone who found this life, even as she faced death, from the living water, if you will, that came from Christ, from his open side, in which John, in John chapter 19, who is there at the cross, he makes an oath that he sees the side of our Lord opened with a lance and blood and water flow out. Blood and water flow out. Well, what was today's first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 47. So the book of the prophet Ezekiel is 48 chapters long. So it's toward the conclusion of the book of the prophet Ezekiel. And this prophet speaks about how God is going to make everything new. Everything's going to be made new in a much greater way than we've ever experienced on this earth. So there's going to be a new exodus during the season of Lent. We're especially reflecting, and at the Easter Vigil, the exodus of the people from their enslavement in Egypt to the promised land. But there's going to be a new and a greater exodus. And Ezekiel is writing at a time when the people had been taken into exile, into Babylon. The temple had been destroyed. The city had been destroyed. And Ezekiel's saying, there's going to be a new exodus. He's going to gather you from all the nations to which you've been dispersed. He's going to gather you and bring you to your own land. He also says there's going to be a new spirit. He will sprinkle clean water upon you and give you a new heart and a new spirit. And the Lord says, I will put my spirit within you. There's going to be a new covenant, Ezekiel 37, a covenant of peace, an everlasting covenant. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So all of these things, everything's going to be made new, including the temple, which had been destroyed. And that was our first reading today, Ezekiel 47. And you know, the temple that Ezekiel describes, it could never fit on the Temple Mount where the old Temple of Solomon had been. It's too big. It's too expansive. And this is something that's not just going to be a stone temple, because there's something divine about it. There's this water that's flowing from within the temple. And it's something that grows, this water. It's trickling out of the side, and then 1,000 cubits further down, it's ankle deep, and then 1,000 more cubits, it's waist deep, and then it becomes this river that you can't cross without swimming. And what happens when this water touches anything? It brings life. It's bringing life. And all along the banks of this river are trees on both sides, and their fruit never fail. And they're bringing healing and nourishment. Even the Dead Sea, there's going to be life there. The fish are going to be in abundance. So you see how Ezekiel sees there's going to be this new temple, but it's going to be something far greater than any physical stone temple, far greater than that wonderful structure of Solomon's temple that had been destroyed, that it's going to be something more expansive. Well, listen to the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Here's what John sees of the new heavens and the new earth. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and the night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So this is what has come with the coming of Christ, with the incarnation, with his life. In fact, at the Feast of the Tabernacles in John chapter 7, this Feast of the Tabernacles was in the temple, so the rebuilt temple. And during the 8 days of the festival, the people would process around the altar, and the priest would take the water from the spring Gihon, and he would pour it over the altar. He's pouring the water. And this is building up to a climax until the 8th day, the greatest day of the festival. This water is being poured over the altar, and the people are singing, and they're processing around the altar. And it's in that context, with all of the people there, that Jesus stands up. Jesus stands up, and this is what he says. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So it's not this stagnant pool, it's a living water. It's ever flowing, just like we heard Ezekiel prophesy. Now he said this, John tells us, about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is the gift that Agena George understood. She understood that there was this living water flowing from the open side of Christ and his passion, the blood and water that flowed from his heart, given to us in the Eucharist, in baptism, that today's gospel points to, that opens the door to all the sacraments. It was something that she wanted to receive as often as she could. She wanted to adore. She's been called, as I said, the Carlo Acutis of India. May she help us to appreciate this great treasure of the Holy Eucharist, in which the living water that brings life to our dying and dead souls, an everlasting life that flows forever in the kingdom of heaven. May we grow in the appreciation of this treasure.